Hi, I'm Mike Asowitz, CEO of Tricert Financial Group. Welcome to another episode of In Focus. Joining me today is Lee Grimshaw, our portfolio manager responsible for the consumer discretionary sector. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you, Mike.
So before we dive into the sector, maybe just a quick summary for everyone listening. What comprises our consumer discretionary sector?
Yeah, so the consumer discretionary is as it sounds, discretionary retail spending, not just retail, but other spending. But that would consist of retail players like TJX. So they would be the owners of HomeSense, as an example. Lululemon needs no introduction. Quick service restaurants like McDonald's and Starbucks. Travel stocks like the Marriott, Hilton, Expedia. Home builders like a D.R. Horton or a Lennar. Home improvement stocks like a Home Depot and Lowe's. And then the auto sector. And there's a couple of other smaller sectors that also comprise of that. Probably the one or two interesting things to note about the sector is that the two largest players in terms of market capitalization are Amazon and Tesla. And by far, Amazon dominates the sector. And on a year-to-date basis was one of the top performers at about 18% on a year-to-date return basis versus the S&P 500, which was around 10% for a similar period.
So basically the sector really comprises of, these are things that, because we just did our podcast on consumer staples, those are things that people need. This is, as the word says, discretionary. Don't necessarily need them, but people want them. So
that's right.
So good introduction. So let's talk about the sector overall, and then we'll get into sort of how our companies did, our core picks. So overall, the sector from a business perspective, how did the sector do?
So it was generally in negative territory, except for Amazon, which is interesting. And we'll get back to that because we're honing in on a core pick, specifically them, and we'll talk about them later in the podcast. A good example was sort of Home Depot that, did relatively well last year, despite some sort of negative trends that were resulting in their numbers. But this year, as I think, the consumers have seen, a stickier inflation picture in the States, more so in the States than in Canada. They did not do so well in the year-to-date results. So there's been a bit of a mixed bag. And then you also have to look at it by subsector to really get a feel for where it's been moving. Retail, is definitely down, but rebounded in the first quarter of this year. Quick service restaurants like McDonald's and Starbucks, are all noting that, the consumer is trading down in terms of its spending habits. And travel stocks, while the revenge travel from COVID was hot and heavy last year, to use maybe a bad analogy, has started to cool off, so to speak. Home builders, interestingly, was a bright spot last year, just with the stickiness of inflation and where interest rates are today, and they've been bumping around a little bit. You know, they've started to soften as well a little bit. And the auto sector, interestingly, pivoting because of the lack of supply that we had during COVID, it's seen a relatively strong return. Toyota, which is one of our core picks, has done enormously well. That's largely because of their thesis around the hybrid cars. And that seems to have played out materially. And then, of course, Honda, which is another one of our picks, most people probably know in Ontario, has initiated a $15 billion investment in Ontario, or upwards to a $15 billion investment. And then, of course, Magna, which is another one of our core picks, is focusing specifically on the electrification within the auto parts segment. So, you know, we've had a bit of a mixed bag there, but generally I would say we performed well with respect to the index, but the index, unfortunately, is down.
Yeah, so index from a business perspective, but our core picks, you know, compared to the sector overall, business-wise, fared better than the overall sector.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Generally. Well, that's good to hear. So why don't we talk about three of the picks in a little more detail? Any companies you want to go into a little more detail in terms of how they did in the quarter?
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about Canadian Tire as an example. Canadian Tire is an interesting example. Very well-run company. So that's the one thing I think that's important to note. You know, they are a stalwart in the Canadian retail scene out there. It's an interesting company in the sense that it has a lot of different moving parts. Three, the way that we think about the valuation, we think of it as a sum of the parts or three particular segments. And those segments would be the sort of the REIT exposure. So they own their own, a big portion of their own REIT. So their existing assets and warehouses and retail locations. The credit card portfolio, which just underwent sort of a strategic, let's call it plucking of the investment, the third-party investor, which was Scotiabank. So there's a sort of a valuation pin in terms of what that portfolio is worth. And then finally, the retail. And so, you know, what's interesting is that we did note back in the fall of 2023 that we thought that the consumer discretionary segment in particular, Canadian Tire was going to see a little bit of compression. It certainly did. Right. We reduced the buy up to, and retail sales were in fact down just under 2%. So not materially, but I think this is the opportunity where you can now pick up the entire company for the value of the retail and get the other two parts for free.
Good point there. You use the term buy up to. And so just so folks understand our process, just quickly explain, what does that mean when you use the term buy up to?
Yeah. So what we do on a quarterly basis or an event basis with one of the two, We would value the company based on what we consider to be its prospects going forward from a growth in sales and profitability perspective. And then we set a price based on those expectations with respect to how much the portfolio managers can buy the stock on a ceiling basis. So if we think the stock is currently trading at $130 and we think it has a year out valuation of 150, we might set the buy up to at about 150 based on what we think the earnings potential is in the near term.
Okay, thanks, Lee. So, what other another company you want to talk about in our?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about Home Depot, but you know, I think the one thing that was interesting is that in Q3, Q4 of 2023. The earnings, which were down, and it, again, I'm going to hone in on how great of a company that this is. And I think the market really liked the changes that management had made, despite having some softer numbers in the Q3, Q4, 2023 earnings and the plan forward. However, Q1 earnings reaction was not quite as favorable as the stock tumbled after the earnings release. And I think this is largely due to the sticky inflation that I think there's a big perception out there and the fact that maybe interest rates don't come down as quickly as possible. So the year-to-date returns were down 6% versus the S&P, which was up 10%. I would note, though, we think that this is a great buying opportunity, and the 10-year return for Home Depot was up about 300% versus the S&P up about 173%. So we would reiterate that we think from a core pick perspective, this is a good time to buy. If you believe that there's going to be a turn in interest rates over the near term, it might not be as fast, but we do believe that there's going to be a turn in the interest rates over the next coming year and a half.
Nice. Okay, and then you had earlier mentioned Amazon. Why don't we talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, so this is probably one of the most interesting companies in the universe, and in particular because of the fundamental secular trends that it's undergoing, both in e-commerce. As we all know, it's a 6-7% growth rate segment of the retail landscape. And then more interestingly, the adoption of AI driving the retail segment. So they do both third-party sales, so they act on behalf as a logistics provider and a throughput sales provider for third parties. And then they obviously do their own first-party sales as well. And then most importantly, the adoption of AI in their advertising segment, which is a fast-growing segment. So, you know, they're quickly becoming one of the most customer-centric companies in the world with the adoption of AI and the 1P and 3P online offerings. So that's what's attracted us to the business. And if you think about, you might say to yourself, well, you know, it's had a good run here at, call it a 45% growth rate over the past year. But EBITDA, to use a proxy for earnings, which is not directly earnings, but a proxy, has grown about 55% over the 2022 to 23 period and is expected to grow another 59% between 23 and 24. And then about 30% growth rate for 2025. So we think there's a lot of runway. Of course, there's always surprises that come about, but we still think there's some good value and opportunity in this particular place.
Okay, good stuff. So you talked about looking forward with Amazon. Overall, the sector, anything that you and the team are looking out towards in the next coming quarters, any headwinds, tailwinds that you're watching?
You know, I think we're trying to expand the universe of the actual subsegments that we're addressing, and we're trying to do that, I think, across the board. But what we would, and then Amazon obviously is one of those picks as a result of that process. And then, I'm not gonna spell out too much, but I think some of the sectors that we talked about earlier, I think we're going to look to expand. And I think as you think about a declining interest rate forecast, then I think you can quickly come to the conclusion that residential development and lodging will probably be two good areas that will show an uptick in valuation as the economy rebounds. And we're starting to see the rebound in the economy. So we do think there is more opportunity in the sector.
Excellent. Lee, thanks for this.
Okay.
Folks, okay. As always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to your financial advisor at your CPA firm. Talk to your Tricert Investment Counsel portfolio manager, or don't hesitate to reach out to myself. Take care.